good to see everybody tonight. Thank you so much for coming out. Grab a songbook. Let's all stand up and we'll sing on page number 34. We'll sing the first, the third, and then the last verse of that. Page number 34.
Some wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When I think that God his Son not sparing, send him to I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. On that last verse, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. What a difference in a memorial service for a Christian lady and a lost lady. It makes all the difference in the world. And I'm so thankful that you came tonight to be here and guests from other places. And what we're going to do tonight is Brother, the music is all Brother Jason's request, the songs that we're singing, and specials. And so we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. Had a wonderful service yesterday. Just a Christ-honoring service, first of all. And then a service that I really believe was pleasing as far as Kelly and her memory goes. And the people of Quincy, the church there, were just thrilled. Building was packed, lots of preachers and full-time workers, and the singing was through the roof, and it was almost a revival spirit, the right kind, not some crazy, because we understand what we're doing here, but God's presence was there. And thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for singing from your heart. And it's sure good to see Brother Jason and the kids. And so thankful they could take this time to be with us tonight to allow our church an opportunity to just remember a very special lady. Very special lady. I didn't want to drag the family through emotional things twice, but when I asked him about it, he was happy to come, and I think for our church, Brother Jason, we appreciate you being willing to do this, and a lot of folks here love the Munkowski family, and so we're glad to have this opportunity tonight to share this with you and your children and your family. Let's pray together, and we'll get started. Father in heaven, we bow before you tonight with a very, Lord, grateful heart. First of all, thank you for salvation that's in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the shed blood that makes it possible for us to have the assurance of our salvation and our eternal destiny settled. And Lord, thank you that this calm and sweet assurance that we have that Kelly is with you even tonight as we assemble here. And I pray, God, that all that's said and done will be, first of all, to your honor and glory, that you'll be pleased. And then, Lord, I pray, secondly, that Brother Jason and the children and the family that's here tonight will be helped and encouraged by what's said. All of our hearts comforted to some degree. Thank you for this lady and the life lived for you. What a testimony. Be with us, I pray, through this service, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you, BC.
Its walls made of jasper, its streets made of gold, its beauty unmeasured, its beauty untold. Its angel choir singing, glad praises shall ring. Yes, I know heaven is more than a dream. It's more than a dream, more than this life could ever measure. It's more than a dream, filled with love abounding treasure. A place where with loved ones we ever shall be. I know heaven is more than a dream. It's hope for the weary, it's rest for the old, it's peace beyond measure while ages shall roll. It's life everlasting with Jesus my King. Yes, I know heaven is more than a dream. It's more than a dream, more than this life could ever measure. It's more than a dream, filled with love abounding treasure. A place where with loved ones we ever shall be. I know heaven is more than a dream, more than a dream.
Thank you, folks, for coming. Pastor Angel, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I know I saw some folks from Elgin. It's good to have folks up there. Let me just say, it was good to see Pastor Gomez yesterday. I know he flew in from somewhere, and as soon as he got to the airport, he packed his bags and took off right to Quincy, which is the middle of nowhere, and he came for our benefit. I appreciate him. It's good to see some folks from Dwight as well. So God bless you, folks. Thank you for coming. I appreciate you, folks, your prayers for me, for my family, especially for Kellyanne, through all she's been through. I can't tell you what a blessing it was knowing you folks were praying for us. That encouraged us more than you know. The text messages, the gifts, the money was nice. Thank you for that. I appreciate that as well. That was very good. Amen. But I appreciate all you did, more than anything, the prayers and just the love you had for us and for her. It made it just made things a lot easier. It really did. I'm not going to be long tonight at all. I had a few thoughts. I know, preacher, we were talking about this and about me coming up here and just giving a few minutes here, and I was trying to gauge my mind what I should talk about, what should I just spend a few minutes just focusing on. And really, folks, it boils down to this. I just want to praise the Lord. He has been so good to us through everything. And obviously, I'm not going to be trying to be fake. It's not easy. It's sometimes it's almost impossible at times. Just knew this whole situation of not having a wife around, and of course the kids not having mama for a while, which is difficult. But he is good.
Amen.
He really is. And I want to thank you for what you've done. Her 2.5-year battle with cancer, it wasn't easy, but again, folks made it so comfortable for her. God, not only did He bring you folks, but He brought people in the hospital who were Christians. I remember the first time she was in the hospital about a year and a half ago, she was there. One of her doctors came in, and he said, one of the first things he came in, he said, I was reading the book of Luke something or other this morning, and she's thinking, man, you're a Christian. It was just good that God could bring these Christians through. It was blessing to have people to encourage her. And that was no accident, folks. The Lord did all that. He really did. And again, just amazing what He did. But through all of it, through all the things we went through, and I had to put a verse to what God had done through all of us, through the whole time we went through this whole thing up to her going to heaven. Psalm 23, verse 4, just keeps ringing out in my mind, which says this: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no." "Fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Every step of the way." Even when she went home, if I had to put the emotion or the feeling that I have in my heart, it's almost like a two-sided coin. On one side of the coin is my spirit, which is just so excited because I know where she is and the peace of God is all over me. Other side is my flesh, which is just broken. Hearted because she's gone. But it's that peace, the fact that He's with us every single step of the way. He showed Himself real to us so many times through all the doctor's visits, the hospital visits, all the medicines, everything we went through. He was always there, just doing little things that we knew it wasn't an accident, it wasn't a coincidence, it was God just saying that He's there every step of the way. And I mentioned this yesterday. Some of you folks were, if you were at the funeral, and thank you for those who came yesterday, by the way. It was so good to see you. It's refreshing to see you folks. But yesterday, I mentioned, again, I know I'm being redundant here, the last 10 days of her life, I'll never forget. God burned them in my brain until the day I died. I'll never forget them. And they really encouraged me. She got a seizure 12, 14 days before she went to heaven. She never had a seizure before in her life, and we took her to the hospital. It was pretty serious. She was unconscious. They got her revived and got her on a ventilator. And we did a bunch of tests. We knew it was serious. And doctors came back and said the cancer was in her skull, and it was pushing down in her brain, which caused a seizure. And we pretty much asked her oncologist to say, just be level with us, sir. Obviously, she's been having so many problems from this chemotherapy, all the side effects. We don't see it doing any good. Is there any reason for us to continue with the chemo? He said, you do what you want, but between you, I don't think so. And we knew that in our heart already. So she decided to stop the chemo. We knew what that meant. We knew there wasn't much time left. And when she realized, and she had talked to me beforehand, we had this discussion because I knew it was going to come. I said, honey, you need to go. When you need to go, you go. And when she knew that we were okay with everything, and she made a decision to stop the chemotherapy, and she knew there was only a few days left, from that moment on, there was nothing but a smile on her face. It wasn't a fake smile. It wasn't a forced smile to try to be comforting to us. It was a smile like she could not wait for what was coming next. I wish I could show you the smile on her face. I know I'm going to see her again. Her kids are going to see her again. And so now, in the second phase, after she's in heaven, what's been a blessing to me is Hebrews 4:16. And I'll finish with this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I think one of the reasons why God had us name Grace Baptist Church that name because of His grace. His grace is sufficient, my friend. When you need it, it's there for you. My in-laws, Kelly's parents, they had two babies. They lost both of them. Kelly was the second. And I've seen the grace. I believe they needed more grace than I did because they lost two babies. And I saw that grace all over them. This grace is sufficient, my friend. I'm a Baptist preacher, so I'm going to close one more time here. I will close with this. See, I was going through a bunch of things in our shoebox. She had a special shoebox. She kept some personal things in. I don't know why I started going through, but I went through some things. I found some books in there. At the very bottom of the shoebox, I found a book that was had my name on it. I had no idea she wrote me a letter before she went home. It was hard to get through that letter. It was. But pretty much the gist of the letter said, honey, just keep going. Just keep going. Because she knew where she was going. And I know that folks, there's still more work to do. I'm not going to quit. I'm going back to Quincy. I'm going to keep going forward for God and just do work for the Lord. I'm not going to quit till He calls me home. But I appreciate that letter for a wife who was always there, submitted to her husband, always pushing her husband. Even when she was in heaven, I read a letter. She said, honey, just keep going. Yeah. Praise God. Amen.
Grab a songbook now and remain seated. Let's sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Grace. Page number 2, grab that songbook. We'll sing the first verse and then the second verse as the last. Page number 2.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song then, sung by flaming tongues above. Raise the mount I fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
On that second verse,
here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to from danger interposed his precious blood.
Miss Debbie and I started Ambassador Baptist Ministries now almost 4 years ago. I was talking with Brother John Booth today, preacher, and he brought this up. The first church we'd gone to help was Brother Jay and Miss Kelly. And we left there. We had, I don't know, literally we'd gained a son and a daughter and 5 grandkids. Brother Jay said it the other day that Netterville in Lithuanian means Minkowski. So we're adopted into the family. I didn't want to be a Polak. I'm from the South. That guy's from New Jersey. I mean, you know, Texans in New Jersey. Well, anyway. If you have a Bible, turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. My wife is real nervous right now because she's heard me do this many times. Y'all have Hebrews chapter 1? All right, I don't want you there. I want you in Philemon verse 6, all right? But it's a whole lot easier to get to Hebrews chapter 1 than it is to tell you Philemon. Man, everybody be looking forever, amen? Look down to verse 6, if you would. I've used this verse countless times. And, you know, God's still molding the ministry that Miss Debbie and I have, you know, in helping small churches, helping start churches. And part of what he's done is begin to use us to help train soul winners. So here in verse 6, look at it. It said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I have used that verse, I don't know how many times, to teach from and to preach on soul winning from. And it says there that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. God wants us to be effective as soul winners. And I've used that verse many times in that. And I told preacher, I'm not sure why God has taken me the direction he did this evening, but just bear with me for a moment. Look at the second part of that verse. He said, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, I have never seen a more powerful communication of faith than what I saw from Miss Kelly in the last days of her life. And what made it powerful was that Miss Kelly had allowed God to grow some things in her as a Christian. Obviously, I don't have time to look at everything that God's put in us, but I want to look at three things real quick. First is this. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This was obvious when you'd walk in Miss Kelly's hospital room there at the end. Paul wrote here, he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. No doubt, Brother Jason, we've prayed many times that cancer would depart. But this is what Paul said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And it is inadequate to try to say in words how obvious the grace of God was. But, man, to be there and to see it was amazing, wasn't it? I can remember, preacher, you were there, and we're still in the ICU, and Miss Kelly's birthday had come. The nurses had brought in balloons. They heard she wanted balloons, and man, they brought in balloons, and Miss Debbie had got party hats, and somebody brought cupcakes. What happened to those? I never got one. But, man, the kids had snuck in the hospital there, and they were all around the bed singing happy birthday to Mom. I was standing outside the room just crying. Preacher was out there crying. Nurses were out there crying. And Miss Kelly's laying there smiling. I mean, just having a good time. God's all-sufficient grace was with Kelly. And grace to accept her circumstances, grace in dealing with each one that came into her hospital room. Man, from her husband to her kids, her parents, even the doctors. And I remember, brother, as we sat there that one day, a doctor came in the room, and he just stopped. As soon as he walked in the room, he stopped. And I thought, he said, something's different here. Every time I come in this room, he said, there's something different, just a different vibe. Brother Jason said, I can tell you what it is. He said, see, we turned our life over to the Lord a long time ago. And Miss Miss Kelly again. She was on a ventilator. She couldn't talk, but she just laying there smiling. The doctors were amazed. Nurses coming back. Nurses that over the last year and a half that have known her, they were coming from different parts of the hospital to come in and see her, to hug her neck. They're taking pictures with her. They're crying. Yet Kelly, I mean, God just gave her the grace to know how to deal with those folks. Everyone that came by, she's constantly telling Miss Debbie, give them a track, give them a track. Do you have a track? Somebody give them a church invitation, you know. She's writing it out on her whiteboard. But everybody that came in there, family or friends, she knew how to deal with them because of God's grace. She knew God's grace, how to comfort each one, smiling, laughing, writing. I remember when we first got there, she had had the seizure a few days earlier, still in ICU, and we went in the room and sat down there, and she grabbed her whiteboard and wrote, she said, have Pawpaw sing some songs about heaven. Man, that's hard. She just had God's grace being able to talk about her approaching death in heaven. Not only that, but then over in Ephesians 6:10 it says this. It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The end of 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says this, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm telling you, never one time, never one moment, did she feel sorry for herself? Not one bit of bitterness. I mean, really, I know it was true when you were there, preacher. She's saying, read me verses about heaven. She even asked her dad, and I thought, man, she wanted him to go down to the cemetery and take pictures. She wanted to see where she was going. She said, am I going to be able to see my funeral? She's asked, what's it going to be like? I told her, you know, John 14 says this. Said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'd always thought of that verse in terms of a group. You know, he's coming back for us. But I told her, you know what? I think he's talking individually there. When you step on that other shore, the Lord's going to be right there to meet you. That's what he promised. I'll receive you unto myself. God's strength, I mean, not one time. Her strength was totally trusting God's will and acknowledging her weakness and her infirmities. And as evident, God's power was resting upon her. Then this, verses I heard y'all quote time and again, brother, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If I heard it once, I heard it 100 times. Both of them saying this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God's not surprised by what happened. It didn't catch him off guard. Our hearts are broken. In our flesh, we'd love to, Miss Kelly, still be here. But God's will and God's plan was just trusting. And that's what they did. She had a trust that allowed her to talk about heaven, a trust to witness of her Savior, not through her speech, as much through the life lived, acknowledging every good thing that was in her in Christ Jesus. Amen.
So many memories of Kelly have come to my mind over the past few days and weeks. As I look back, I see not just a sister-in-law and friend, although I enjoyed those aspects of our relationship. I also see what a mentor she was to me. Kelly was a few years and a few steps ahead of me in marriage, motherhood, and Christian maturity. She had answers when I asked her questions about standards, being a godly wife, or motherhood. But she taught me most by how she lived. She was genuine, unpretentious, and a lot of fun. When God called Jason and Kelly to Quincy, she had peace and trust in God and Jason. She did a beautiful job taking on the role of pastor's wife and loving and leading the women in their church and truly rejoicing when she saw them grow. And she continued to have a godly testimony and peace through her trial. But the role I enjoyed seeing Kelly in most was that of mom. Kelly was a wonderful mother. She loved being a mom. She loved being your mom. Seeing the pictures of the funeral reminded me how Kelly nurtured a special and unique relationship with each of her kids. She loved you so much, and she was so proud of you all. I'm sad that the Lord took Kelly, what feels like so early, and I will miss her. But I'm thankful for the Lord putting her in my life and the time that I had with her. And I'm thankful for the influence that she has had on me and so many other people. I'll share a poem about heaven. I did not write this. If you could see where I have gone, if you could see where I have gone, the beauty of this place, and how it feels to know your home, to see the Savior's face, to wake in peace and know no fear, just joy beyond compare. While still on earth, you miss me yet, you wouldn't want me there. If you could see where I have gone, had made the trip with me, you'd know I didn't go alone. My Savior came with me. When I awoke, he was by my side and reached down his hand. Said, hurry now, you're going home to a grand and glorious land. Don't worry over those you love, for I'm not just with you. And don't you know, with you at home, they'll long to be here too. If you could see where I have gone and see what I've been shown, you'd never know another tear or ever feel alone. You'd marvel at the care of God, his hand on every life, and realize he really cares and bears with us each strife. And that he weeps when one is lost, his heart is filled with pain, but oh, the joy when one comes home, a child, home again. If you could see where I have gone, could stay with me a while, could share the things that God has made to grace eternity, but no, you couldn't leave, because once heaven's joys you'd known, you couldn't bear to walk earth's paths once heaven was your home. If you could see where I have gone, you'd know we'll meet someday. And though I'm parted from you now, that I am just away. So thank you, loved ones, thank you, friends, for living for the Lord. And now I'm at home with him, secure in every way. I'm waiting here at heaven's door to greet you some sweet day.
On our journey, following the Lord, where God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He makes. when the path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to Him. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of the bow the knee.
There are days when clouds surround us and the rain begins to fall. The cold and lonely winds won't cease to blow. And there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We are tempted to believe God does not know. When the storms arise, don't forget we live by faith and not by sight. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven, and when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee.
It's good for us to come together as a church and grieve. Somebody like Kelly and this family lived among us for 6 years. He didn't work a job here. He gave his heart and soul. He was one of us. It was not a profession, it was a calling. And when he left, he took a part of us with him. And I appreciate them allowing us this opportunity tonight. I thought Linnea was one of the finest eulogies I've ever heard delivered. Thank you for what you said. Brother Scott, thank you. And thank you for those who've participated in the music. If you brought a Bible, if you don't have one, that's fine. But if you want to open your book to chapter 13 of Job, we'll read a text there tonight. Spend just a few minutes here together as we close out this time of remembering Kelly. Take a little bit different angle than what I took yesterday in the service in Quincy. And the Lord just put this on my heart for tonight. And if you think, wow, why didn't somebody talk about this? We might have talked about it yesterday. but I wanted to go this direction tonight. Just hold your Bible there and keep it open for a moment. As much hope as we have because of heaven and because we know we'll see Kelly again, there's still no denying that this is a sad time. You know, to ignore that or deny it would be unreal. Wouldn't be real. So it's better to deal with reality than to deny it or ignore it. Some of that reality was talked about yesterday in Quincy, and we'll talk about more tonight. So you got the book of Job here. I think everybody's familiar with this man after losing his possessions, his children, and his health. Job was getting advice and instruction from three of his friends as he was going through his trial. One of the most humorous verses in all of the Bible, if you have your Bible open, is chapter 12 and verse number 2, I believe it is. Yes. Where Job answered and said, "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you." That's a hilarious verse to me. You kind of get the idea Job was being a little sarcastic there, don't you? And it's just too bad when you die, wisdom's gone. And the truth is, they were not much help to Job. And you know what, people? Brother Wayne and I were talking. Brother Wayne buried his wife some years ago. And the people who are the greatest help to Jason right now are these men who have unfortunately already walked this road. I cannot begin to know what he's feeling. I wouldn't even pretend to. But others have. And Wayne was saying, he's saying, you know, well-meaning people say some of the craziest things at times like this. And I think sometimes that's why we're afraid to approach somebody and speak with them for fear of saying something that doesn't make any sense really to them. But you know what, folks? Just the fact that you care enough to say something helps. And I'm sure that Job was a little bit frustrated with some of the advice he was getting, and they weren't much help to him. In chapter 13, verse 5, he says, "Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." The wisest thing you can do is just keep your mouth shut. That's what he said. That's really what he said to them. And after they were droning on. And then Job begins to ask them some questions, and he finally just tells them to be quiet. And he says in verse number 13, "Hold your peace. Let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will." And he says in verse 14, Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth? You know, why do I suffer so badly that I bite myself because of the pain? People, the Bible talks to other places about men gnawing on themselves because they were in such pain. And Job was in such physical, not just soul pain, but physical pain from the head, the crown of his head to the sole of his feet with these boils. And he's, wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth? Why is this happening? And put my life in mine hand. As there's been times where Job even despaired of life. But then he said an amazing statement in verse number 15, where he said the words, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." I'm going to trust God. If I knew that God was going to take my life tomorrow, I would trust Him today. That's what Job said in this verse. I'm not going to allow these circumstances, this trial, to change my belief in God. Not just His belief, but His ways. Look what He said at the end of verse 15, "But I will maintain mine own ways before Him." And folks, that's trust in action. I'm just going to keep serving God. The brother said it tonight. You know, a man earlier tonight asked me, he said, "What happens to Brother Jason? Does he just go on?" I said, "Yeah, I think he does. He stumbles a little bit right now and takes a little time to regroup and pull himself back together and help the children. And then he maintains his ways. He goes back and becomes pastor again. Not that he's left, but resumes the duties of pastor of Grace Baptist Church. And he reads his Bible and he knocks doors and passes out tracts and he prays and helps other people. In his own grief, he helps others. That's trust in action. Lord, if you are going to kill me tomorrow, I'd trust you and serve you today." And that's what Job said. I think about that matter of trust, the most necessary element that enhances every relationship. And you've heard me say that over the years here. Every married person wants their spouse to trust them. Parents want their children to trust them. Children, as they grow older, they want their parents to trust them. And pastors want their congregations to trust them. And employers or employees want their employers to trust them. And folks, God wants us to trust Him. In every situation. You know, we start out in life pretty much trusting people, at least the people we know. You know, a dad stands his child on a countertop in the kitchen, you know, and he stands a foot away and he says, "Come on, jump, jump, jump." And of course, mom's having a fit, you know. But jump, jump. And the child, you know, the child eventually looks at dad and pretty soon they jump. It's kind of innate. Two individuals go into marriage believing they can trust each other. A church calls a pastor that they believe they can trust. So we have this matter of trust kind of built in us. So my question is this: what causes that trust to be broken? What causes it to be diminished? What happens to the confidence we once possessed about someone we could trust? What causes that trust to be violated? And usually it's when someone hurts us or disappoints us or lets us down. And then all of a sudden, there's a lack of trust. You know, it would never happen, I don't think. You know, if you can imagine a child on a countertop and dad holding out his hands and saying, "Come on, come on, come on, come on, I'll catch you, come on, daddy will catch you, come on, come on, come on, jump, jump, jump." And as soon as the child leaps, the dad pulls his hands back. Dad holds you in the air, you know, and as you dads do sometimes. With I used to take our kids when they were little and take them with one hand and hold them up in the air like this and twirl them around. And of course, mom had a fit, you know, but they loved it. But boy, what would happen if, you know, just by accident, a dad would drop a child? The next time dad wanted to hold that child in the air, there wouldn't be a whole lot of trust. You know, a teenager wants his parents to trust him and starts building that trust, and then they start sneaking around and doing things behind the parents' back, and they deceive their parents, and that parent is hurt, that parent is disappointed, that parent pulls back some of the trust. We're reluctant to trust in those situations, listen, where we get hurt. We're reluctant to trust in those situations once we've been disappointed. Now think about Elisha over there with Gehazi, his trusted servant, and Naaman comes and he gets healed of his leprosy, and Naaman wants to give Elisha some things because he's grateful that he's been healed of his leprosy. And Elisha says, "No, I don't need anything." And Naaman takes off back to Syria, and Gehazi watched all of that happen. And as soon as he had a free moment, he took off after Naaman, and he called him, and Naaman said, "What's up?" And Gehazi told a horrible lie. He said some of the college students, some of the Bible college boys showed up at Elisha's house, and boy, he could use some of that money and he could use some of those clothes for those Bible college students. And Naaman said, "Oh, absolutely, here you go," and gave it to Gehazi. And Gehazi took it and put it in his own house. Went back and stood before Elisha like nothing was wrong. And you remember, Elisha said to him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi? Where you been?" And Gehazi said, "Thy servant went no whither." And Elisha said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee?" Hear those words, folks. This man trusted Gehazi. And when Gehazi broke his trust, Elisha said, "Mine heart went with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee." And I can see why Elisha never trusted Gehazi again. That trust was violated. When someone you have trusted hurts you, when someone you have trusted disappoints you, you're tempted to withhold trust going forward. So, what happens when we get hurt while we're trusting God? I imagine Job got hurt losing all that he did. And Job knew that behind all of that loss was a sovereign God who allowed it to happen. I think about that for a minute. But Job refused to allow himself to distrust God. Job got hurt trusting God, and in his grief, in his sorrow, in his loss, in his bereavement, he said, even if I knew God was going to take my life tomorrow, I would trust Him today. What a statement. What a statement. What happens when God reaches down into a family and takes a wife and a mother? Well, you know what happens? It hurts. And it hurts deep. And unless it's happened to you, you don't know how deeply it hurts. It hasn't happened to me. I have my wife and I have my mother. So I do not know what this man and his children feel. And each one of you, Jason, Hadley, Caleb, Lindsay, Jacob, Seth, has your own particular and unique hurt. All of us hurt. That's why we're here tonight. To grieve about that hurt. But the greatest hurt is felt by the ones closest to Kelly. And you say, God, this hurts. And God says, trust me. Trust me. If we're not careful, Brother Jay, other thoughts begin to race through our minds. Why does the woman who abandoned her children and left her husband still live and my wife, my mother, die? Why does the woman who is shooting up with meth and selling her body to pay for her drugs live and my wife and mother die? And in the midst of the fog of pain and hurt, we have to say, if I knew He was going to kill me tomorrow, I'd trust Him today. God, I trust You. And we have to remember just who it is that is asking us to trust Him. It is the loving, perfect, right, good, and holy God, who sits on the throne and sees everything from beginning to end in one enormous panoramic view of time. He is the one, Jason, He is the one, kids, Scott, Linnea, He is the one, church, He is the one, friends, who is asking us to trust Him. This is not some human who at the very best is sinful. It is a holy and righteous God. You know, the one who was willing to give His only begotten Son to die so that we could be saved. He's the one asking us to trust Him. What greater one to trust than the one that loves us? And who loves us more than our God? Our sister, your mother, your sister-in-law, your wife, your friend is in heaven. We know that for sure. We talked about that yesterday. And the one who made it possible for her to spend all of eternity in that wonderful place and made it possible for us to be together with her again, He's the one who's saying, trust me. And I say to you, He's worthy of our trust. And you know, in times like these, we have to come back to our baseline belief about God and who He is. I believe God. I believe who He is. I believe what He says. I may not understand His ways, and He said that in the book of Isaiah, that His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We cannot, it is impossible for us to wrap our mind around all the ways of our great God. But you know what? We can still say, we believe God. As they sang, bow the knee. Trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee. Lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the One who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan in the presence of the King, bow the knee. Jason, I know that's what you were doing this morning. You said you went for a walk. You may not have been on your knees physically, but I know that's what you were doing in your heart. I know you're saying, God, I trust you. Friends, it's time to trust God with things we don't understand. Kids, the one thing your dad has said to me over and over again through these last 2 or 3 months especially is I just don't want any of my children to get mad at God. You're going to have to trust Him. You can. You have, and I believe you will. And Jason, it's necessary for you to trust God with the depth of trust that Job testified about when he said, though he slay me. And that's probably part of how you feel. Part of you is gone. Yet will I trust in Him. And He's worthy of it. He's worthy. Father in heaven, I pray that Your grace will continue. I don't have to ask You to give grace to this man and his family. You've been doing that, but I pray that it will continue, and I know it will. And I pray that they will receive the comfort that You offer them along the road now. It'll come in different ways and different avenues. And I pray, God, that every time You send a dose of comfort to their hearts, it'll be received and taken and be benefited from. God, we do trust You. We have to admit in our thought processes, in our humanity, we cannot understand this. We cannot wrap our minds around this. But we trust You. And Father, I pray that You'll please bring help when help is most needed. Thank You for a life dedicated, consecrated, and lived for You. Thank You for that wonderful place called heaven, where Kelly now resides and waits the coming of her husband, her children, her family, and friends. Thank You, Lord, for the land that is fairer than day. And Father, we all say tonight, with a bit of a sad heart, we trust You. We do. We trust You implicitly, completely. Help us to maintain our ways before You. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There might be somebody here tonight in the service who's not sure of their salvation. What a great night, friend, for you to trust Christ, to be saved. Right where you sit, you've heard the testimony of this lady's faith and how it was lived. You've seen the testimony of this man and his children as they have lived through this trial. And you know there's something different and you're missing. And it's not just something, it's someone. It's Jesus Christ. And I would just beseech you to turn your heart toward Him. Receive Him as Savior. Invite Him into your heart and trust Him now and be saved. Thank God there was a lady yesterday at the funeral service who trusted the Lord as her Savior. In the quietness of your heart, you can turn it to God and ask Him to save you. And I trust that You will, if that's Your great need. Father, we love You. I pray that Your grace will continue to help us, help this brother, his family. And Lord, may we just live in light of the day that You'll come for us, and we'll all be together in that wonderful place called heaven. In Jesus' name I ask it, and amen.
Let's grab a songbook. Let's all stand. We're going to turn to page 378. Let's sing out on that good old song, It Is Well With My Soul. We'll sing all four verses of that, page 378.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when soul rest assured, rest control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed His blood for us soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. Not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul.
Request to sing that song. I want to have our ushers come forward. Brother Mike Hall, come on up and lead us in prayer for the offering tonight. I appreciate Brother Hall being here. When he heard we were going to have a memorial service, he called right away and he said, Cindy and I want to come and be there. Now, everything in this offering, if you have church money, it's got to go in an envelope marked as church offering. But everything else, and you know we said we were going to do this, we're going to give to the Minkowski family. They're going away for 30 days approximately, and just Jason and the kids. And we don't want them to want for anything. If the kids want to stop and do something or buy a dress, get an extra pair of shoes or a hat or something, we want Jason to be able just to stop and do what needs to be done to help them. So the offering tonight will be for his family unless you have church money that needs to go designated places. Brother Hall, please pray for our offering. Thank you for coming.
It's been a unique relationship that we've had with the Minkowskis as we paralleled what was going on in their lives to a large degree. And Kelly was a big blessing to us in that. And Jason, you all were a blessing to us. We appreciate it so much. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for what you mean to us. We thank you for the peace that you bring. We don't understand it, but we appreciate it. We revel in it. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless this family and be a comfort to them as only you can. No words we can say can be the comfort that you can be. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless them. Lord, we pray that you'll bless this offering. Help it be a comfort, a blessing, a show of love on our part for them. And Father, just pray that you'll watch over them, blessing their lives. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.